And with that, we go into our second classic Christmas cartoon. It's a lot of C's all in a row. Classic Christmas cartoon. Last week was Charlie Brown's Christmas. And this week we go into Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I know there's multiple versions out there, but here we go to the 1964 TV special of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I hope everybody knows the story, that everybody has sung the song enough times that you know the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. What's that? It's a green nose, right? But anyways, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the reindeer that's born with a red light on his nose that makes him truly an outcast of the reindeer community, and one that Santa looks at him and says, if you grow up to be an adult and that nose is still lit up and red, there's no way you are ever helping pull my sled on Christmas Eve. I mean, you want to stab a reindeer right in the heart. Tell that reindeer that they're never going to be able to help deliver Christmas presents on Christmas Eve. Well, along the way, there's also an elf named Hermie. Now, if you pay attention closely, he's also known as Hermie and Herbie, that they kind of interchange throughout the show. Now, you have to watch it again and pay attention. But Hermie is an elf that's not very good at making toys. And if you don't know, that's the whole job of elves up in Christmas Town, is to make presents. Well, Hermie, instead of making presents, really wants to be a dentist. And that really makes him an outcast in the elf community. And so Rudolph and Hermie end up running away from Christmas Town, since they are what they categorize themselves as the misfits of Christmas Town. And they find themselves in misfit land. Well, here they hope that they can be accepted in the land of where misfit toys go, but they discover that living beings such as reindeers and elves aren't allowed, but they can stay for one night. Well, they try to go home and find out going home just doesn't work, and so Rudolph runs away again. Well, when we get to this scene, we find that Rudolph has discovered that his family is in trouble, and here he goes to rescue them. And as we enter this scene, we see not only Rudolph and his parents and Clarice, the good-looking little reindeer girl, but we also meet Hermie the elf and Yukon, the prospector. So let's see what happens when a group of misfits gets together to try to help out. Well, what a bunch of misfits. Reindeers with glowing noses and elves that can't make toys and want to pull teeth instead. But look what happens when that band of misfits gets together. They truly save the day. And if we had time to get even further, we would find out how, right, Rudolph saves the day, because in the storm, Rudolph is the one that's able to guide Santa's sleigh and be able to deliver the presents. Well, this fits so well because our story of Christmas is really a story of misfits. And let me prove it. Here we go into the Gospel of Matthew. And it says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. And then Jesus was born. What a bunch of misfits. At least Joseph doesn't begin as a misfit. It said so right in the scriptures. Did you catch it where it shows that Joseph was not a misfit? It said it right there. It says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. The other way it reads is because he was a righteous man. What does this mean, righteous man or faithful to the law? This means he was one of those card-carrying, perfectly lives the law, does everything as it's supposed to be. I mean, he was one of those guys. One of those guys that gets all the perfect grades in schools and has all of the perfect sports scores and everything is just exactly how it's supposed to be. This was Joseph. I mean, they knew him as in town as one who was totally faithful to law, did everything right. This guy's guaranteed his place in heaven. And so here Joseph has to make a decision, right? He has to make a decision if he's going to continue to toe the line and live in the state of religious perfection and cultural perfection, or if he's going to become a misfit by staying with Mary. Well, he chooses that he's going to keep towing that line and be the good guy, and part of being a good guy is that he was going to gracefully and quietly divorce Mary so that he could kind of go on his way and she could kind of go on her way, and hopefully they'll both be okay, and he can go on to live this righteous life, right? But Mary, she's already a misfit, right? She didn't really choose to be a misfit. God made her a misfit. Have you ever thought and imagined what it must have been like for Mary when people found out that she was pregnant and pregnant out of wedlock at that time? I mean, talk about a misfit. You think that it was harsh that Rudolph got made fun of and didn't get to play in the reindeer games, but nothing compared to what Mary must have been like in that time, being an unwed pregnant woman. But what happens? The angel comes, right? The angel seems to be the bearer of good and bad news all at the same time throughout this story. The angel has good news for Joseph. Guess what? You get to be the father of God's son. That's the good news. But the bad news is your righteous image is gone. Because you get to marry this woman and you get to take on a child that everybody will know is not yours. What does Joseph choose? But Joseph obeys God. He obeys the angel and he takes Mary as his wife and right then joins the band of misfits. But the misfits, they don't end at this point in the story. I mean, what are the shepherds? I mean, this is just more misfits, right? They don't even get to live in society. They get to go live out in the fields with the stinky sheep, okay? These are more misfits. And what do they get to be? But they get to be the first guests to visit baby Jesus. I mean, there's misfits all through this story. I mean, Jesus himself becomes a misfit, doesn't he? I mean, he's a misfit when he eats with sinners, when he works by healing on the Sabbath. I mean, everything that just goes in line with a misfit of somebody that's walking their own path instead of the one that society says they're supposed to be. You know, misfits just like Rudolph, just like Hermie. But I myself, I kind of like misfits. I mean, as I was thinking about misfits and where I've connected, I immediately had the image of the Bad News Bears come into my mind. I mean, have you ever seen a more a better example of a group of misfits than the Bad News Bears? They come from broken and bad home lives. They come from brokenness and what they're able to do and how they talk and how they act and how they walk. But here they are, a band of misfits that does an amazing thing on the field when they finally come together as misfits and see one purpose and one ability with all their brokenness together. Well, this evening, I come to acknowledge that we're all misfits. None of us are that exactly righteous, does everything perfect, has no errors in the past. We are the misfits. And I'd like to proudly proclaim my place as a misfit. Absolutely, I make mistakes. Absolutely, I lack the title of perfection. Absolutely, I try but tend to fall short. But what did God send Jesus the misfit for? He sent the misfit to be the king of all misfits, right? He came to dwell with us, to live with us, and die for us, the misfits of this earth. I mean, he said so himself. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinner, right? He came those that needed it, those who had brokenness and needed to find wholeness. But then what happens in this clip? What's the greatest aspect of who Rudolph is? It's not the red nose that made him a misfit, that made him an outcast, but it's that red nose that saved Christmas, right? And that's our reminder of the salvation of the light. Because Jesus came when it was dark, right? I mean, Jesus came when it was dark on this earth. It was depressing on this earth. It was a place without peace. And he came in and he said, I come to bring light into the darkness, right? And then what did he say? He said, I put my light in each one of you. Just like Rudolph. Jesus says, I'm born and I die, and then I leave my light in you so that you can be one that my light will shine through, so that you can be a guiding light, a saving light, one that people are able to see in the darkness because of you. I mean, isn't that a great gift that we get at Christmas? That Jesus comes and is born for us, the misfits, and then puts his light in us so that not only we can see in the dark, but then others can see as well. That's a miracle that happened. That's a miracle we celebrate every time we see this movie. And I pray that if you watch this movie every year, that you'll look at it different too. That you'll say, I'm the misfit. But God says, I take every misfit in and I put my light in them.